Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, anewchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you. Good morning. You can be seated. It's great to be with you. It's been a few years because of interruptions, but it's great to be back in Whangarei and back at Renew. And yeah, we love Simon and Christy. They're our favourite young pastors of any church we visit. We say that in every church we visit, but it's great. It's really good to be with you. Hey, Open Heaven in Auckland, we had more than 10,000 come out. That was the biggest crowd that have come out to pray ever in the history of Open Heaven, and it's been going some years. So I think we're all recognizing the world's in trouble, our nation's in trouble. The only thing that'll change things is an invasion of heaven. And Jesus said the way you get that is to pray, Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And more prayer is better than less prayer. So the more we pray. You know, I was looking at a message, a leadership message this morning that I've never preached. I wrote it out, and it's called Back to the Upper Room. And I was asking the question, what was in the upper room that had attracted the Pentecostal move? That outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 2. There were two things. There was unity and there was prayer. And when God's people come together and they pray, that it gets the attention of heaven. So you gather on Thursday, sacrifice some time, get there, because I tell you what, the church coming together to pray and intercede will attract God's attention. And we sure need his attention, amen, on this city and the rest of the nation. So Greta and I want to share some prophetic stuff for you, just some stuff that we've been hearing for 2024. We don't claim to be hearing everything God is saying, because we all prophesy in part, but I'm sure a lot of people are hearing other things as well. But this is something that we feel God is saying. So over to my sweetheart to share first.
Thank you. May I just ask, who are all the YWAMers? Put your hands up. All right. Kona means something to you? Yes. And you know about, I know where the headquarters are, but that the Kona winds they're a different wind to the ordinary winds. And the Holy Spirit is a supernatural wind. And there's a wind revolution coming, and God is going to, I just release the anointing of the Spirit to you. He is the breath, the pneuma, the wind of God, that you will carry it and bring a wind revolution wherever God sends you. Okay? Bless you. And the other thing about the Kona winds, it also brings rain. And God is wanting to release the rain of his Spirit from heaven to bring revival and new life and awakening. So God bless you and use you. You know, I don't know where Mitch is, but you are absolutely spot on. David and I, we feel Father's heart for this next generation. And Jesus is passionately going after this next generation to set them on fire, that they will be a mighty army in the earth that will rise up full of the Holy Spirit and fire and do great exploits for their God, because they know him. Knowing him is the key. Now today, what I felt to share is Psalm 24 and open doors in 2024. And these two things are related, the psalm and the open doors. And from early February last year, I sensed 2024 is a significant year. And Psalm 24 is important for 2024. And the Lord confirmed this through a natural sign. The temperature gauge of a home ventilation system was 24, an extraordinary number of times throughout last year. And I kept hearing Psalm 24 for 2024. So I'll briefly touch on a few points that God's highlighted in the psalm and four related doors. The first thing Psalm 24 declares is that the whole world and everything in it belongs to the Lord, the Creator. And we need to know he is complete control. We sang this. He is sovereign. That word is underlined. He is sovereign over all. Because prophetically, We are living in times of trouble, days of war and battle, as Job 38 describes. Secondly, God is calling us to ascend the mountain of the Lord above the increasing turbulence and chaos of the world and stand in His holy place. And if we live from the heights of His presence, we will have His supernatural peace and protection. And whatever troubles we face, God will impart ongoing power to stand on the heights if we choose to open a very important door. This is a door you and I choose to open. And on our next slide, it's coming up, the door of greater intimacy. And Revelation 3:20, Jesus is speaking, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." You know, this is a personal invitation to enjoy greater intimacy with Jesus, to know Him more and feast on His delights. And it is one of the most important things for us to pursue. And so here is the question. Will you respond and fully open the door of your life and welcome Jesus in? Right after this passage, on our next slide, is the door of greater revelation, Revelation 4:1. And John writes, "Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I'd heard before said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.'" If you open wide the door of your life to Jesus, He will give you a personal invitation to greater revelation through the open door in heaven. So will you respond and choose to come up higher through that open door? Thirdly, Psalm 24 states that only those with pure hands and pure hearts can ascend the mountain of the Lord. See, Jesus is after a pure, holy bride in the earth who doesn't compromise with the world's ways. And about 14 months ago, Jesus said this to me, "I am cleaning house to prepare for my glory that is coming." And I sense this referred to His church globally, so that the house of God is a holy dwelling place for His glory. Will you surrender to the Holy Spirit to spring clean your house? And just talking about that glory, you know, it's a weightiness of God's holy presence. And during the worship, I had a glimpse of heaven where our Father and Jesus on the throne and this, you know, this brilliant golden light emanating all from around the throne. And I saw this glory light radiating down into this church. And I just had a sense that I was basking in it. And because I believe, you know, the Lord seeks for worshipers, true worshipers, and I believe that He has found true worshipers here, and He inhabits our praises, and He is making this place His habitation, His presence, and this is going to grow more and more, and you are going to experience it's so holy, this glory of God in this place in time ahead. You keep doing what you're doing, and this is what is going to happen. Because this just brings us to these next incredible doors on the following slide, the doors for the King of Glory. And Psalm 24, 7-10 says, "Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors that the King of Glory may come in." Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty in battle. The Lord, mighty in battle. The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. And before we get to the King of Glory, He's the Lord Almighty. And in these days of war and battle, the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Sabaoth, the commander of the angel armies of heaven, fights with you and for you. And His promise is this in Romans 8:37, "Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ." His will is that you and I overcome whatever we face. But this open wide the doors for the King of Glory. This is a corporate invitation. Jesus really wants to fulfill Isaiah 44:4, where Ezekiel wrote, I looked and I saw the glory of the Lord filling the temple. I had a little glimpse of that this morning. And I just, it's as I say, it's going to increase more and more. And then a final door that I will mention. Early December last year, while I was just with the Lord, I sensed Jesus say this, I will keep opening new doors in the season ahead. I am the great door opener. I shut some older doors where your assignment is complete. There are new assignments. I'm making room for them instead. And remember, every door I open, no one can shut. Then I instantly saw a vision, and this next slide gives you a little bit of an idea. It was like a warehouse. There were long rows of doors, different kinds of colors, designs, handles, etc. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, what is this? And this is what I sensed on our next slide. These are new doors of opportunity and assignments. And this verse came immediately to mind. A great door for effective service was open to me, and there are many who oppose me. But you know, and Holy Spirit highlighted this promise from Revelation 3, where Jesus says, see, I have placed before you, an open door that no one can shut. You will look and you will see doors of opportunity in the midst of all the uncertainty, the trouble and turmoil out there. And some of these doors are adventurous unknowns, and others have signs on them. And one of the labels on a door was the door of hope. And Jesus himself declared, I am the door. He is the hope of all the world. And in 2024, the door of hope will be open to many who are desperate for hope. Another sign is the door of deliverance. And in 2024, doors of deliverance, just like those prison doors in Acts 12, will miraculously open. Breakthroughs are coming for those who've been praying for them. And another door is the door of miracles. I really feel that 2024 is the year of unprecedented miracles, and God will do unprecedented miracles through those who dare to believe. There will be miracles of salvations, healings, financial provision, restoration of relationships, etc. And what I feel is that if you today need a breakthrough in your life, or you need a miracle of some sort, at the end, there'll be opportunity, and we're going to pray for you. All right? So to summarize, if I could encourage you, meditate on Psalm 24. Open the door of greater intimacy, and Jesus will open the door of greater revelation. Prepare with purity for the door to open to the King of Glory. And look for the doors of opportunity that God opens. So what I would just briefly love to do is to pray over all of us as David comes up for those doors of opportunity. Would you just all like to stand? And your door will be unique. Father, I thank you that you are the great door opener. Jesus, you do the Father's will. And I just speak to every door of opportunity in every person's life listening here today, be opened in the name of Jesus Christ. And I feel for some of you, God's imparting a spirit of adventure, and you will advance into new territory you've never been before. In Jesus' name, receive a spirit of courage and boldness to step through God's open doors. And receive a fighting spirit to overcome the opposition. And I declare over every one of us, overwhelming victory is yours through Christ. Thank you, Lord. We receive this by faith. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. It's great, sweetheart. Thank you. open doors in 2024. And do meditate on Psalm 24 and what's in there. And, you know, as I say, others will be saying other things, but I do believe that, you know, when God opens doors, stuff happens. It really, you know, you advance. It's like a quantum jump. When God opens a door that's been shut, you actually have a quantum leap in your journey with God and things happening. And I think some of you, you're going to find this year that you go from here to there. It's like, or you go from there to there. It's like a leap. It's like, you know, a time warp. You love into time travel, you know, they just go through a wormhole and pow, you're out into another dimension. And I just feel like some of that's going to happen this year. Hey, we brought some of our books. They're down the back over there on the your right of the auditorium. This book, Hope, if you want God to light a fire of fresh hope in you, this book will do it. It's based on Hosea 2:15. God says, I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway or a doorway of hope. Greta talked about that. And so this has keys to be able to find doorways of hope and see the fire of hope. I think the world really needs that right now, yeah? Hope is a precious commodity. Check that out. This book, Afterlife, Greta and I both lost our spouses some years ago. And God navigated us through the grief of that loss, healed us, brought us together. We didn't know one another. And we talk about that in the book. But the majority of the book is what happens to the person who dies. You know, where do they go at death? What is heaven like? It's an amazing place. The return of Jesus, what is that going to look like? And at that time, of course, we get our resurrection bodies. We get raised from the dead. Our spirits that have been in heaven get reunited with a raised up body. I mean, you think you look good now? Wait till you see yourself in your resurrection body. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to look way better in the resurrection than you do now. Just tell them. That was actually a test. Husbands and boyfriends should have said, you couldn't look any better than you do now. Did we have any men in the house that passed the test? Yes, look, there's a handful of them. Well, they're the romantics. Anyway, and it talks about Judgment Day, what that's going to be like. Very different for the believer and the non-believer, and the new earth and heaven God is going to make and what that's going to be like and what we'll be doing. So do check that book out because that gives tremendous hope. And then a new book that we released a couple of years ago is How to Pray and Change Your World. And this book will really light a fire of prayer in you. It was written for people whose prayer lives are almost zero, or if you're a prayer warrior and everyone in between, simply to encourage us to raise our praying to another level, to go beyond where we are, to go from zero to something. If you're a prayer warrior, to just take it another step further, and that book will help you. So do please check those out at the end. They're discounted for you today. You know, as I was asking the Lord back in December, is there anything he wanted, you know, to emphasize for 2024? The phrase more in 24 kept coming to me. Got it on the screen there, more in 24. And as I pondered it, I decided I would do, using Bible software, I would search every verse in the Bible that had the word more in it. Let me tell you, there are hundreds. So I confined them to the New Testament, and as I meditated and studied them, I felt there were three verses in particular that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that were really key for 2024, and not in any order of importance, but the first one is Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I felt that one of the things that the Lord wanted to do in this year 2024 for his people is to cause us to be able to step up to becoming more than conquerors. And in the context of Romans 8, if you read that, the Apostle Paul lists some of the things he was believing to conquer. They were troubles, pressures, problems, persecutions, deprivations, dangers, death threats. You know, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ today will be meeting in nations where they're under threat of death if they're found out, where there's persecution. So that is valid today. And you will agree the world has become more volatile and more opposed to Christianity. The devil knows his time is short and is much more active. And Jesus warned us all those would be signs preceding his return. But how many know that God's more will always conquer evil's more? Is that right? God's more will always conquer evil's more, and we're more than conquerors. And some of these things to conquer would include addictions, character flaws, temptation, depression, oppression, and any other areas we may be struggling in. I think this is a year to really break free of some stuff that has chained us, stuff that we've been battling with. Sometimes you're battling something and you keep stumbling in it. And you go back and you ask God's forgiveness, and then you stumble again. And it's easy to get to a point where you kind of bow to defeatism, where you just kind of feel like, I don't think I'll ever beat this. It's just the fear of failing again, to believe that you possibly never have victory, to fear the next fall. And you see, fear is the opposite to faith, and that will rob us. 1 John 5:4 says this: everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. See, fear will never do it. Faith will. And if you're born of God today, you have the potential to overcome the world and the struggles of the flesh, etc. And you say, well, what does it mean to be born of God? Jesus said to a man called Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said, well, what do you mean? How can I be born a second time? And Jesus really tried to explain, well, listen, you're born once physically, but you have to be born spiritually. And to be born spiritually means that we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We recognize that every person on planet Earth has sinned and broken God's laws. And if you even break one of His laws, one sin is enough to separate us from a holy God forever. You talk to Adam and Eve, that was one act of rebellion. They lost paradise and a curse came. Just one act. And if we die in that state, and everyone that dies immediately stands before God for judgment, God will be obligated by His justice to say, I wanted you to spend eternity with me, but because your sin has never been forgiven, I must send you to a place separated from my presence. And let me tell you, any place where God isn't is hell, because there's no hope, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no redemption, there's just regret and torment. And God the Father did not want anyone to suffer for that fate, for He's not willing that any perish. So He sends His Son Jesus, who dies on a cross. Why? He's shedding His blood, paying the price for our sin, for our acts of rebellion, so that whoever turns to Jesus, who believes He's the Savior of the world, who receives Him into our hearts, the Bible says in John 1:12, God gives us power to become a child of God. And He wipes away our record of sin, and we're redeemed and we're washed clean, not by our religious performance or perfectionism, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. And Jesus said, that's what it means to be born again. It's to receive me. It's to believe in me. And the moment you do, your spirit comes alive. It's like your spirit is born and the Spirit of God comes and indwells you. You know, we have over 8 billion people living on planet Earth, right, at the moment. And they estimate there's maybe 2.4, 2.5 billion Christians, and called Christians. I guess a lot of them may not be even born again, but let's be generous and say maybe 2 billion Christians on planet Earth who know the Lord. That means there are 6 billion people on planet Earth who've been born physically but who've never been born spiritually. And that matters to God. So while we enjoy the comfort of our Christian and Western ways and gather in relative ease here, there's 6 billion people that are going to be separated from eternal paradise, and God is concerned about that. So when we run something like Open Heaven, it's not just a window dressing and a showboat for prayer. It's saying, God, we're desperate. We want to see heaven open over our nation and city, because when heaven gets open, people get saved much more easily. But the point of it is, if you're born of God, you have a potential for victory, because whatever's born of God overcomes. I was sharing. We were preaching at our home church, Church Unlimited, at the end of January, and we were just sharing the message. And we had a friend visiting that day. She'd done 3 years up at Bethel School of the Supernatural. She's been back in New Zealand a few years, so she's very spiritually aware. And she said, "Look, I had a vision when you guys were up there." And she said, "I saw a row of angels on your right and a row of angels on your left. They were flanking you. And the thing is," she said, "the angels had swords and the swords were pointed down." Now, we've got the next slide. It's very hard to get a photo of an angel. That's the best I could do. Okay, a statue. But you can see that angel's holding the sword down. It's like pointed down. That when a warrior holds his sword down, it means you're at rest. You're at peace. But she said, "In the vision, what I saw was the angels then flipped their swords up." Next slide is of a warrior with his sword up. And when a warrior or an angel holds their sword up, it means they're ready for battle. And as we asked the Holy Spirit, "What did that vision mean? What were you saying?" I felt the Holy Spirit say this: "I am releasing a spirit of conquest into my church this year." And I felt it was wider than just Church Unlimited. I am releasing a spirit of conquest. And it's time my people flip their swords up and stop living at peace and living at rest and living in defeat. You have been given weaponry. You have been given armor. You have been told to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. To flip your sword up means to speak the word that is in faith, that's opposite to your circumstances. Begin to speak it and declare it. Begin to pray it into being and begin to resist the works of the enemy, because too many of us are living in areas of defeat. And it's time that the Lord wants to say to you, you are more than a conqueror. And if you just flip your sword up, you'll begin to live in the potential of that victory rather than in continual defeat over something that the enemy is using. So I would say in 2024, expect to conquer things you've never done before. And when you take a stance of faith, God, who's in charge of the angels, He releases those warring angels to go to battle on your behalf against demonic powers that have assaulted us. So that's one thing. We're more than conquerors in 2024. Another scripture that was very real is Ephesians 3:20. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." You know, we need to dare to ask big in 2024. We need to dare to believe big. We are not prophesying that everything we ask for is necessarily going to come to pass in 2024, but I believe that the seeds of great things can be sown this year. And some of them will be reaped this year, some of them will be reaped in the years to come. But if we just keep playing it safe and little, then we often don't see the abundantly more that God wants to do. See, Father always has a way of surpassing our expectations to remind us how kind and amazing He is and to leave us in awe of Him. Never lose your awe of God. Never lose that childlike wonder at the things He does. We get so ho-hum. "Oh, yeah, somebody got saved. Great. Oh, somebody got healed." No, no. You say, "God, thank you. Somebody got saved. Wow. Somebody got healed. Thank you, Lord." Never lose the awe and wonder, because you celebrate with awe the little things He does. It sets you up for seeing big things. You know, if we just think the little things are ho-hum, it's like God's, "Well, how can I entrust you with much more if you've got that attitude?" We need to be always continually filled with awe and wonder. I mean, the older Greta and I get, the more in awe we are of how come you're using us to go into different nations in the world, to sit with significant leaders and encourage them. And I'm just a kid from Blenheim. I just grew up in a little town in the South Island, for goodness sake. And I keep saying, this kid from Blenheim, Lord, how come? You know, and it's like when I was younger, I thought, "Look out, world, here I come. I am God's gift to the world," you know. But God has a way of really dealing with ego and ambition. You're nodding because you know what that we're all. So, "Oh, yeah, look out, here I come, Lord." But, you know, you just walk with God for a bit. You say, "Well, it's all by His grace and mercy." Never lose the awe of God using you. It's a wonderful thing. You know, when we released this book, How to Pray, back in 2022, Greta and I prayed that the Lord would take it far and wide and that everyone that read it would have a fire of prayer lit in them. Well, a copy fell into the hands of a New Zealand missionary. He lives in New Zealand, but he ministers up in Mongolia. And he sent it to one of the Mongolian church leaders who loved it and asked permission to translate it. And so he translated it, and then between our ministry, the missionary, and our home church, we raised enough finance to print 5,000 copies that were given away to Mongolian Christians. We've got a picture of a bunch of them that have received copies, so 5,000. See, the church in Mongolia was zero when communism collapsed in the Soviet Union because they were under Soviet Union rule, and but since, I think that was early 90s, since then, there's more than 50,000 believers now in Mongolia. And so they wanted to cover 10% of all Christians. And one lady, she was so hungry for God, she got into her car and she drove 15 hours through a snowstorm, through a sandstorm, through an engine breakdown, just to get 3 copies. That's how hungry she was. You've only got to walk down the back of the church. I mean, it's real easy for you. But wait, there's more. That church leader in Mongolia, he emailed me in December to say, hey, all the 5,000 have been given away, and I've just ordered another 5,000, and they've already been paid for by a donor. So that's now 10,000 books on prayer going to Mongolia. You know, we use the expression out of Mongolia, like meaning far, far away. I mean, when we prayed, out of Mongolia, come on, Lord. And never in my wildest dreams would I have thought God would do that. He is able to do abundantly more than we could ask or think. I go, wow. Greta and I just go, wow. Who would have thought that? I just thought the nations we minister in, you know, God would take it. But he had different plans. And now a nation is helping to be impacted. Never thought we'd have an inheritance in Mongolia, but that book's doing something, an awakening prayer. See, before people can come to faith in Christ, the church must pray. Prayer disarms the blindness with which the enemy blinds people. And when you go before in prayer, it makes it easier for them to receive. Now, you might not have written a book, but you might have desires and God dreams for yourself, your family, your church, your business, your nation, and this world. And God is waiting to awe you with his immeasurably more if you dare to ask and think big. And one of the things I think God wants to awe us with is the salvation of loved ones and people we really care about. Some of us have had loved ones away from God for a long time. And it looks like, they're just not interested. It looks impossible. But how many know that if we pray, if we believe, God can do more than you could ask or think? And just maybe, as we just up that stance of faith and that stance of prayer, could God do amazing things in our families this year? One more scripture that I felt was emphasized, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more, there it is, all the more as you see the day drawing near. What's the day? The day is the return of Christ. That's when we cross the finish line, is that right? When Jesus returns, the spirits that have been in heaven get reunited with our new resurrection bodies. Those Christians still alive on planet Earth get transformed in an instant to be given a glorious body. And we all meet the Lord and we reign and rule with him over planet Earth. And there's a judgment to determine who gets in the kingdom and who doesn't. A new earth and a new heaven is created. I'm shortening everything, but basically that's the outline of it. And in that day, that's the day. The day of his return is drawing near. I don't know how near it is, but you will agree, things have accelerated remarkably since we got into the 2020s. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, the roaring of the seas, which is the weather going crazy. There's just volatility in the nations and all of it. I don't know if the Lord's coming back sooner or later, but I just feel like we're getting nearer to his coming. Could be 100 years away. It could be 10 years away. I don't know. But all this to say, As we see the day draw, there's a bunch of us, we're seeing the day drawing near than ever before. Can't put a time on it because Jesus said nobody knows the time and the hour, the day and the hour. But we can sense that that day is drawing near. And before it, there's going to be a massive harvest and breakthrough. But all that to say, as believers, we are told that we are to encourage one another. And all the more. You know, one of the epidemics of our time is loneliness and isolation. We have an online world. But online community goes only so far. And we are designed for face-to-face. Encouragement does not work in isolation. Encouragement works in community. I love online ministry. There'd be people watching this online, and for various reasons, praise God, somebody on the opposite side of the world can beam in and watch this service. Somebody that it's hard for them to get to an actual meeting, has the privilege of still not being left out. But bottom line is, if you can get to a physical meeting, that's where we ought to be. I can't work out in Auckland. I'm sure Whangarei's not like this because you're much holier than us. But in Auckland, they tell me that the average Christian turns up in church once every 3 weeks. Give me a break. Jesus did not die on the cross for me to turn up every 3 weeks when I felt like it. Don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. I don't want to be in the some. Actually, in the early church, they met every day. We got it easy. So, encouragement works best in small groups, in church gatherings, just friends simply meeting and encouraging one another. It could be a kind word, a good work, a smile, sharing truth, praying for one another, bringing prophetic words to people. Encouragement is the language of heaven. Discouragement is the language of the devil. And the church ought to be the place where encouragement is like an epidemic. Let's have an epidemic of encouragement. In fact, there was one guy in the early church, his name was Joseph. It says in Acts 11:24 that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. He was he just believed in encouraging everyone. He encouraged so many people so often. You know what? The apostles gave him a nickname. You know what they called him? Barnabas. Means son of encouragement. And when you read the Bible, he's just known as Barnabas. Only once is he referred to as Joseph. Every other time throughout the New Testament, he's called Barnabas. Oh, here comes the son of encouragement. Here comes the son of encouragement. Here comes the... Don't you want people to say that about... Oh, here comes so-and-so. They're a great encourager. You say, but oh, David, I'm oppressed. I got problems galore. I need encouragement. Yeah, you know what I've discovered? When you give encouragement away, it comes back to you. You can be discouraged and bogged down in discouragement. And one of the ways to break through is just find somebody else to encourage. What about the guy who said, I had no shoes and I thought I was hard off until I met a man with no feet? There's always somebody that needs encouragement. And you know the thing about Barnabas? There was a ratbag persecutor of the early church by the name of Saul. He was just a wicked man. He hated the Christians. He was cheering when Stephen was being stoned to death, the first martyr of the church. He got a rampage on. He was arresting Christians, throwing them into prison, and cheering when they were being killed or in prison. And then he was on his way to Damascus to arrest more Christians. And Jesus met him, and he gets knocked off on his horse. He has a vision. He has a vision of Jesus. He gets saved. He gets converted. The problem is when he tried to join the church, nobody believed him. They thought he's faking it just to infiltrate us. We don't want to know this guy because he's just going to worm his way in and find out who everybody is and put us in prison. And nobody wanted to touch him except one man. His name was Barnabas. Barnabas got hold of him and brought him to the apostles, and they thought this guy's the real deal. And later on, Barnabas got hold of him and brought him into Antioch, which is having revival. And Saul became the great apostle Paul, who changed Europe for the face of Christ. I'd like to suggest perhaps if there'd been no Barnabas, there might not have been an apostle Paul. You never know that person you encourage who they can become. You never know the repercussion of what they might end up doing. And certainly, at the very least, when you encourage someone who's flagging to be able to just run a bit more so that they end up crossing the finish line, on the day we all stand before Jesus, may it be that there are people there because you encouraged them, who didn't give up because you came alongside. You prayed for them. You said something to them. You believed in them. Greta and I went to see a movie over summer, and I'll finish with this story. It's called One Life, about a guy called Nicholas Winton. Got a photo of him coming up on the screen. Nicholas Winton lived in England, and he was very concerned as he watched Europe how Jews were coming under persecution from the Nazis, and it was becoming, there was a lot of hate being poured out towards Jews, just like it is all around the world today. Who thought that spirit would surface again so quickly? And so he wanted to get kids out. And there were a lot of people in England that were getting Jewish children out of Nazi Germany, out of some of the other European countries, back to England to be fostered. And he went into Czechoslovakia because Germany had annexed part, and everyone knew that probably they're going to then invade the rest of the country. And so he and his mother and a team worked tirelessly, and they managed to get 669 Jewish children on trains across Europe into England, into foster care. And sadly, they had another train load of 250. And on the day they were going to leave Czechoslovakia, Germany invaded Poland, World War II began, the Gestapo came and arrested those 250 children. None of them survived the war. All perished in a concentration camp. But those 669, he got out, and then things happened. I think he worked for the military, and years went by, and basically the story was forgotten, but he kept a scrapbook of photos of some of these kids and things he'd done and correspondence, and his wife discovered it. Said, you know, this story needs to get out. And then, cut a long story shorter, an influential woman whose husband was in media was showing it, and she said, can I have your permission to show this to my husband? Again, to cut a long story short, it got into the hands of the BBC, I think it was 1988, somewhere like that. So this is like, 40-odd year, 1988. This is like 45, 48 years later. And so they did a program. They ran the series of program where they would get people in and they would highlight their life story. So they asked Nicholas Winton to come, and he was sitting among an audience of about 200 people, and they talked about this, and the lady who was the MC, she held up the scrapbook, and she said, this is amazing what you've done, and we just want to honor you and thank you for all that you did. I'm going to ask the audience to stand. They stood and applauded what this guy had done. What he didn't know, all 200 in that audience were these kids who were now adults. They'd managed to find 200 of the 669, and they stood to applaud. On Judgment Day, or when you get to heaven, whichever comes first, I believe that Father intends that there will be people that applaud your entrance into heaven, or there will be people that applaud you around the throne of God when he's handing out rewards because of you. They are there. And whether it's one or 1,000 or 100, it doesn't matter. There needs to be people that applaud our entrance into glory. Those 669, many of them married, had children, and today they estimate, this was at the time of the making of the movie last year, they now estimate there are 6,000 descendants from the 669. See, your encouragement has a multiplying effect. That person you encourage, you never know what they can go on to be. One of the privileges Greta and I have now as we travel around the world is not only speaking in meetings like this and running seminars, it's sitting with pastors and leaders and encouraging them, listening to their stories, getting prophetic revelation for them. It is such an utter, utter privilege to encourage somebody else. That's all the prophetic's about. Yeah, sometimes it brings correction, sometimes it brings direction, but mostly it's edify, exhort, and comfort, encourage and strengthen. And we don't sit there thinking, aren't we great sitting with these leaders? No, we think, Lord, we just want to wash their feet. You know, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Because in those days, you wore sandals, the roads were dusty, there was muck and rubbish. By the time they got where they were going, their feet were filthy and servants would wash, but Jesus washed the feet. You know, there are a lot of people you're going to meet who on the journey of life have got a lot of dirt and muck on their feet. And when you go and encourage them, what you're doing is you're washing that dirt away. You're just washing their feet for them. You're encouraging them. And you never know who they can become. So, more in 24, we're more than conquerors through whom who loved us. He's able to do abundantly more than we can ask or think, and we need to encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. And we'd love to pray into this in a moment, but first, I just want to make sure that everyone here is right with God, and perhaps if you've never been born spiritually, I would love to pray a simple prayer in a moment that would allow you to give your life to Jesus or come back to him. And if you're watching online, you're welcome to be part of this as well. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray the simple prayer that would allow you to give your life to Jesus, to receive him into your life, to have your sin forgiven. Maybe you once did that, but you've walked right away from God and you need to come back to God this morning. I'd love to include you as well. Could we all close our eyes to help us concentrate? And I'm just going to ask you, if you know that you need to give your life to Christ or come back to him, right now where you're sitting, can you just lift your hand in the air? I'll acknowledge it, then you can put it down. Is there anyone you're saying, yeah, I need him in my life or I need to come back to Jesus? Yeah, thank you over there, young lady, and thank you, sir, down on my right. God bless you. Anyone else? You can put your hand down, you two of you. Anyone else? Just say, yes, I've seen your hand, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? You're coming back to Jesus or you're giving your life to Jesus for the first time. Just don't let fear stop you. Just shoot your hand in the air, say, yeah, I need to do this. And, you know, God will, yeah, thank you there down on my right as well. God bless you. Anyone else? Just I'm going to wait another 10 seconds and then we're going to pray. Just raise your hand high in the air if that's what you're doing. Okay, I don't see anyone else apart from the three. Can we all stand to our feet? We're going to pray a simple prayer for the... And if you did this online, please join me in this prayer right now and follow me in this prayer wherever you're watching from. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to say it out loud, mean it with all your heart. I'm going to invite the whole church to join in with you. So we're all going to pray together. And if you mean this, this is what God will do. So here we go. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me today for all my sins. I'm sorry, Lord, and I turn from them and I turn to you. I believe you died on a cross for me and you rose again from the dead. So I now open the door of my life and ask you to come and live in me. Lord Jesus, I now receive you. Give me power to live for you for the rest of my days. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, you're one of the three, you're halfway there. Because the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your lips, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So you've prayed the prayer in private. What you need to do as the meeting is over, come and see one of the pastors, Pastor Simon or Christy, Pastor Mitch, one of the leaders of the church, Julian, and some of the other elders, Richard Wayne, you know, and just go and see one of the leaders and say, that was me. I prayed that prayer. If you're watching online, is there a chat room? Yeah, go into the chat room, say, that was me, I just prayed the prayer, somebody will help you. And it's really important that you do that. Sweetheart, could you come and join me? Just want to take a few more minutes. And we're going to pray into this thing of miracles in a moment. But I just feel like, you know, one of the things that happens, we preachers know that most people will forget 90% of a message. So they only remember, this is what they say, they remember 10%. So, you know, I don't want you to feel bad, but, you know, we've fasted and prayed. We've spent hours at the keyboard. We've sought God for this message. I mean, we have worked our fingers to the bone getting this stuff. But, hey, that's okay. You can remember. But listen, could you remember this? 2024. Psalm 24 and open doors in 24. More in 24. Maybe you could remember that. Maybe the Holy Spirit could bring that back to your remembrance. And before Greta, you know, we minister in that realm of the miracles, I just feel like it would be great to do a faith action and a declaration. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you in a moment, in your seats, I know there's not a lot of room, but in a moment I'm going to get you to take a step forward. It's like you are going to say, Lord, I am stepping into open doors and more in 24. And then we're going to make a declaration. There will be more in 24. All right, so here we go. Why don't you do it now? Just in your heart, say, just silently say, Lord, I'm stepping in. Here we go. We're stepping in, Lord, to open doors in 24, more in 24, in the name of Jesus. And Greta's going to pray about the open doors, especially miracles, in a moment. But right now, I just feel like it'd be great for us to declare three times. So when you speak something, when you let it go in faith, it's like, you know, God spoke and the worlds were created. When we speak in faith, something happens. And so we're going to say three times at the count of three, there will be more in 24. And whatever your more looks like, think about it. Healing, salvation of a loved one, you know, financial provision, whatever the more looks like, you just picture it. So here we go. One, two, three. There will be more in 24. Again, there will be more in 24. There will be more in 24.
Now, we said we'd love to pray for those who really need the door of breakthrough and the door of miracles. And I listed those miracles. And if that is you, we invite you to come to the front. And also the leaders in this church, the ministry team, if you would also come forward.
Yeah, so what we saw, I mean, there's not a lot of room down here, but if you are needing a miracle of any sort for you or your family, we felt like it would be great not only to pray over you, which we're going to do in a moment, but to have somebody pray for you. So maybe we'll get the leaders to hold back at the moment, but those that you're saying, yeah, I'm believing for a miracle of some sort, would you quickly come right now? Nobody comes, that's fine. We'll go and have a coffee. We don't mind, but, you know, just come forward, come and line along the front. I'm sure there's a bunch of you that really need miracles, a relationship needing healing, a marriage. I don't know what it is, a child or a grandchild that needs to come back to Jesus. Just come as far forward as you can. Just leave a little half a meter or so from the platform. We'll get the leaders to come in a moment. Yeah, just keep spreading out. That would be great. Yeah, just come and stand in the gaps. That's fantastic. Amen. Awesome. So all you guys, you don't need miracles. It's amazing. Like, you've got them already. No, I know miracles are when you're desperate, and I understand that. It's like miracles, like, well, it's God, we just absolutely need you to do something amazing. And so not all of us are in that moment. So we're going to pray over you, and then we're going to get people to pray for you.
And if I could also just quickly say, you know, as David said, there is power in declaration and impartation. And we receive that by faith now. And God, miracles and breakthroughs will be birthed now. Sometimes these things manifest immediately, but sometimes they take time. So if that's the case with you, have an expectation and hold on to what you felt the Lord has said. All right? let's just all, and if everyone else will also be praying as well, let's just pray. And those that are needing miracles and breakthroughs, will you please lift your hands like you are receiving from the Lord? And in Jesus' name, I speak to doors of deliverance and be opened by the power of God. I release breakthrough from whatever bondage is you're battling. Jesus set you free now, and I declare freedom to you now over you in his mighty power. And those of you that need a miracle, I speak to doors of miracles be opened in Jesus' name. And I release salvations in your family. I release miracles of healing, of financial provisions. And I release supernatural restoration of relationships. Receive your miracle now. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, and we receive these as your gracious gifts.
Just let's linger another minute, and then I'm going to hand back to Pastor Simon. Holy Spirit, I just pray you'll come and overshadow everyone standing here right now. I pray a wave of your anointing to flow through this whole congregation. And Lord, many of us may not need a miracle right now, but the day will come where it's needed. And my prayer is that, Lord, today there is a seed of faith that's gone into your heart, that when you need this, the Holy Spirit will water it. Your faith level will rise. And for those standing at the front, in the name of Jesus, may the Spirit of God touch you right now. May the Holy Spirit incite a fire of faith within you. May he release the gift of miracles to you. May you see things, and I feel like this is for the whole church. You're going to see things, and that's what Greta and I are believing for. We're going to see things this year we've never seen before. That's in the realm of more. And so, Lord, would you just touch right now? I take authority over discouragement. I take authority, Heavenly Father, just over that pain of lack, that pain of living with something that they need a breakthrough. And, Lord, I just pray a fire of fresh hope. Because, see, faith gives substance to what you hope for. So hope is the foundation of faith. I pray an impartation right now of a fire of fresh hope in every person standing here. Let the Holy Spirit touch you in Jesus' mighty name. Now, could we have the leaders that were here yesterday to come and find somebody to quickly pray for? You know who you are. You were here yesterday. Or if you weren't here and you're part of the leadership or ministry team, can you quickly come? And I'm going to hand back to Pastor Simon, wherever he is. There he is, and to do whatever you want to do next.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.